And to speak to you, and it's been a privilege to be in this conference. It's really been a blessing, and I know what all goes into it, and thank you very much for having me, Brother James. And it's just been a great blessing. Good time for preachers, I tell you, to fellowship, and it's really good. You got all my best buddies here. That made it great. Let's see. I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Greetings. In Colossians chapter 3, that's where we're going. And we're going to read one verse. One verse that says a lot. Colossians 3 and verse 11. We're going to focus on the last seven words at the most. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. And in all. Now, I want us to focus on that last part. Christ is all and in all. And I just want to let that sink in for just a moment. What a statement. What a pronouncement. What a proclamation. Christ is all. And if that's all it said is Christ is all, someone might say, well, all of what? But the Word of God declares Christ is all and in all. This is the pressure that is applied when the gospel is preached. If some person has an idea of Christ, and we just kind of let Christ be whatever people want to make him to be, then there isn't any real weight to the gospel at all. But when Christ is presented as he is revealed in Scripture, the power of the gospel becomes like a locomotive. Locomotive? Wait, how do you say that? I say it. Like a choo-choo train. Boy, that doesn't sound near as powerful as I intended it to come out of. The locomotive. I said it right the first time. Barreling down the track and a center. I'll get it. A sinner, not a centurion, must look up and face the Christ of the Bible. People will seek anything to keep from dealing with the reality of who Christ really is. And preachers today oftentimes allow folks to maintain a less than biblical view of Christ. I think that's the greatest crime we could have. And because Christ, as he is in Scripture, demands that he is all or he is nothing. All the fullness of the Godhead in a body. The man Christ Jesus. Many religions will say, well, he was a good man, or he was a God, or he was a prophet. But that doesn't go near enough. And even Christian circles, We have the idea Jesus is presented, but he's presented way too small. If Jesus is too small, way too weak and needy. We've already heard in this conference, he doesn't need anything. And incapable and literally a failure because he wants things that he can't have. And this is the thing, as long as I can find a preacher to preach a Jesus to me that doesn't intrude into my understanding that I already have, because I already have an idea what Jesus ought to. I've never read the Bible, but I have an idea about Jesus. I've seen pictures of him. And as long as you don't preach a Jesus that intrudes on that, or what I desire for him to be, the Jesus that I want, or the Jesus that I imagine exists, then I can, and this is the truth, I can hold to my sin. But if he is all in all, you say, well, that's a little too serious. He's everything. He's the only thing. He's what it's all about, Jesus.
Yes.
Now, the fullness of Christ in the Scripture is offensive to sinners, when in fact, he's the greatest friend a sinner ever had. And rejecting the Christ of the Bible, and don't fall for this, people who reject the Christ of the Bible, it's not an intellectual rejection. Don't fall for that stuff. I thought it out and I considered it. I know there's some deep things about Christ in the Bible, no doubt. But those aren't the offensive things. The basic things about Christ in the Bible are simple. And they're plainly spelled out for everyone to see. For all to see. I know there's plenty of logical arguments you can give to prove Jesus Christ existed and all those things. Let me tell you what, a child of God doesn't need an apologetic argument to prove to him that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and his Savior. You say, well, hold on, let me explain this to you. He rose from the dead, and we know he rose from the dead because if he didn't, then what happened to the body? I said, nah, that still doesn't matter. But they put a Roman a guard, a watch on that thing, so he couldn't get away. And there's only explanation there is that he rose again. No, I don't believe that. Well, the Bible says he was seen of over 500 brethren. 500 people saw him, and then there wasn't enough time for them to all be dead. If when they wrote it and said that there was 500, they would have refuted it. Oh, well, then it's 500 brethren. Now I believe it. We don't need that. The problem is sin. Men will not have Christ to rule and to reign over them. It's not an intellectual argument. People refuse to accept that they have sinned against a holy God. And to know Jesus Christ is the only way of eternal life. Without the Christ of the Bible, someone said, you're going to preach hellfire damnation. I don't know who it was said it. Well, this part is right here. Hell is real. It's a real place. It's a literal place. And without Christ, that's where somebody's going. And it's judgment. And it's the judgment of God. And it's the damnation of God. And it's the eternal lake of fire. But with Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible, there's faith, hope, love, forgiveness, eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father, which is greater than me, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand, who's greater than me, he says. But he's everything or he's nothing. Everything or nothing. Christ isn't what you make him to be or whatever you would like for him to be, but he is who he says he is. So I'm going to preach Christ to you tonight. Before I get going, I want you to look at one verse with me, John chapter 6. And really think on this one, and think on the one we already read. John chapter 6. And then I'll preach my message. John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, and Brother Ortega's prayer was perfect, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. He's way more than a name that you're going to throw in at the judgment and say, well, I knew Jesus. I had his name, you know, and I was around people. I believed that he existed and all those things. He's way more than that. He is righteous. He's righteous. The Bible calls him Jesus Christ the righteous. And listen to me, we need righteous. We need an advocate with the Father. We need a lawyer that's never lost a case. We need a righteous Savior. We need a Savior that fully saves. See, a Savior that doesn't fully save is no Savior at all. A redemption that doesn't fully redeem is no redemption at all. An atonement that doesn't fully atone is no atonement at all. But the Bible says He hath obtained eternal redemption for us. We need Jesus Christ the righteous. He didn't labor to become righteous. He's righteous because of who He is. He's already righteous. He's righteous because He's God. He's righteous because He's deity. Look back in John chapter 1. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses love to mess this one up. There's a lot of people talk about Jesus being a God. You don't even need to worry about verse 1, but we're going to read it. Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God." Not a God, but God. "The same was in the beginning with God." You say, well, some translations mess that up. But they don't mess up verse 3. "All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made." If everything that was made was in a box, He's not in it. He's outside of that which is made. He's not made. He made it. He made all of it. Christ is everything or He's nothing. And He's the only one that can take away sins. And He's way more than a wannabe Savior. He's way more than that. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life. And I hope we can feed on Him tonight. That's my goal tonight. So we're going to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can satisfy the soul. He alone can satisfy and quench the thirsty spirit. He is the Savior. He is the Son of God. He is the one who bore the wrath of God at Calvary. There's no other religion. There's no other way to take away sin. Only Jesus Christ. There is no other redemption. Allah provides no redemption. The Hindu religion provides no redemption. Buddha provides no redemption. The church provides no redemption. Praying cannot give you redemption. The ordinances of the church, and I love the church. I'm a local church man, and I love the ordinances of the church. But let me tell you what, ordinances can't give you redemption. Rituals cannot give you redemption. Giving of your money can't give you redemption. No other religious work provides redemption. But Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but," and I like my old King James right there, "not through me, by me." Listen, even the best, the very best of godly men have sin in their life. So that's why I'm not talking to you tonight about Christianity. I'm not talking to you tonight about great men or good people. And I'm not presenting to you any type of method of salvation. And I'm not presenting to you the church. If I did, you could pick that apart. You could find fault with that. And there's no perfect preachers. There's no perfect Bible student. There's no perfect Christians. There's no perfect churches. But the Christ of the Bible, He's perfect. He's absolutely perfect, and He's presented as perfect, and He has never and will never have any accusation laid against Him that's negative in any way. No charge can be laid. Faultless. No fault has ever been found in Him, nor ever will be found in Him. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. He is sinless. He is impeccable. And He didn't sin because He just overcame it and He wanted to. He couldn't sin. It's impossible for Him to sin. As it's written, "that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." There's none like Christ. He never fails. He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in a light which no man can approach, and no man hath seen at any time, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen! Jesus Christ! That's what we're here for tonight. There's coming a day in which He will judge this world in righteousness. And the problem is we're ungodly. You realize in your natural condition, you stink in the nostrils of God. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior tonight? Do you know? Do you know that? I can't give you life. I can't give you life. I can't cause you to believe it. But I'm just asking you. Would you contemplate that? Do you know the one I'm talking about? Do you know the one I'm talking about tonight? Also, Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. The Father's eternal plan is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Everything about the plan of the Father is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is all, and He is in all. Notice our text there in Colossians 3. Now, I just want to put some context to that, because that's you could pull that little part out and just stick it on the wall, and it sounds good no matter what. But then I just want to go ahead and put the context to this. Nobody said, well, JC just preaching whatever he wants to. We'll jump in verse 3. He's talking about when you're saved and how you're supposed to live and how you're supposed to think and all those things. And he says in verse 6, he's talking about the children of disobedience. In verse 7, it says, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You were just like that. But now ye also put off these things, anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Don't lie about that. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And that's us. Brother Kevin, we're coming back to that image, being brought back. And he says, when you're saved, this is what's happening in your life. And it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. There's no division there anymore. Circumcision nor uncircumcision. Or barbarian. I mean, he went really out there then. He said, you know, there's the Jews, but then there's those terrible Greeks, but then there's the barbarians. And those people were barbarous. I mean, they were horrible. And most people think that's the Arabian, end up being the Arabian people, maybe from like the Persians or the, well, we now know the Iranians. And then he goes on and says the Scythians, worse than that, the very wildest of that group, or actually another group. Then he says, not bond nor free, whether you're a slave to someone or if you're a free man. None of that matters. But Christ is all. In the new life that we have, what is, a person is, has no bearing upon the new birth. It has zero to do with Jesus Christ in a relationship with Him. Barbarian, Scythian, it doesn't matter. In the new birth, life isn't about your nationality. It isn't about your religion. And I tell you, some people need to realize that if you're prejudiced against other nationalities here and you just got a flat-out problem because of the color of their skin, you're going to have a big problem in heaven. The new birth, life isn't about those things. It isn't about your status. It isn't about your language. It isn't about your intellect. It isn't about your culture. But it's about Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. He is all. He is all. And that can't be changed, no matter what anybody says. And that's what a believer affirms. That's what this text is saying. That's what a believer believes. That's what a Christian believes. Christ is all things. He's all things necessary for salvation. Someone says, well, what do I need to do to be saved? We need Christ. You need Christ. You need Jesus Christ. He is all. So explain that to me. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to have to really explain that to you. But you're going to need Christ. You're going to need the gospel to tell you that, but you're going to need the Holy Spirit to make it real to you. And you're going to have to have Jesus Christ. You say, that doesn't make sense to me. I know it doesn't, but it will when the Lord deals with your heart. You're going to need Jesus Christ. He has first place in creation. He's the beginning of the creation of God, the Bible says. He upholds all things by the word of His power. According to Hebrews chapter 1, even when He was dying on the cross, He was upholding all things by the word of His power. By Him all things consist. Look back there if we're in Colossians, look in chapter 1. All things consist. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by Him, it says, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions. Let me tell you, I don't care who it is that's in power, He put them there. And you may not like the president that we got. If you do, you need to talk to me after the sermon. But the Lord put him there. And his heart is in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He turneth it like the rivers of water, whithersoever He will. And you have to accept that. Principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He's all and He's in all. And it says He is, and I'm just a country boy, but I know what this means. He is before all things. That means He's first. There was nothing, but there was Him. He's before. When you go before something, that means you're in front. He's before all things, and by Him what? All things consist. He holds it together. You want to know why the planets orbit like they do? Jesus Christ. You want to know why the water doesn't come up an ocean, just come up on the land? Because of Jesus Christ. You know, you wonder why the moon just stays out there and hangs out there? It's Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control of all of that. Go on to verse 18. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in what? All things He might have the preeminence. There's not anything that He's not first in. He's the first of everything. He has preeminence over everything. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And this is precious. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile what? Not just His people, but all things to Himself. Everything's about Christ. Everything's about Christ. By Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And He goes on to say, we were wicked sinners. But in verse 22, in the body of His flesh through death, He made it that we could be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. All power is given to Him in heaven and earth. All authority is given to Him in heaven and earth. He has the keys of hell and death. Don't anybody tell you Satan's running hell. He has the keys of hell and death. He is the fulfillment of all biblical types and pictures. He alone made reconciliation. He alone abolished in His flesh the enmity which was the law of commandments, which was against us. He nailed it to the cross and took it away. And He is the satisfaction. He's the payment of the sin debt. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. What? In Him, through Him, because of Him, for Him, to His glory. Christ is all in justification. Christ is all in sanctification. Christ is all in righteousness. Christ is all in our election. We're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Given to the Son. The Father gave us to the Son. They're yours. For Your glory. Without Christ, none would be chosen. None would be saved. Christ is all. Christ is all in our calling. The shepherd calls the sheep, and they hear His voice. John 10 and verse 3 declares, He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. One day He said, Jackie, Dupashan. Come here. And what'd you do? So, I'm here. Come to Me. He calls us by name. You realize that? He calls your name. He gave you your name. Matter of fact, He wrote it in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when He calls you, He calls your name. Have you heard the voice of the shepherd call your name? If you have, then you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you probably said, nah, that can't happen. He is all in our sanctification, as I mentioned. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Him. It's of God that we're made that in Him. And He is all in our faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that. He is all in love. The Bible tells us that the love of Christ constraineth us. That doesn't mean that I love Him enough that it constrains me. It's His love that arrests me and causes me to follow Him. It's His love that holds on to me and doesn't let me go. It's His love that can, the love of Christ constraineth me. It's Him that sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. It's Him, He, that is full of grace and truth. He is all in grace. He is all in truth. Everything about truth is about Christ. Everything about grace is about Jesus Christ. He's all in the gospel. He's all in the preaching of the gospel. We preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He was taken in the garden, denied with a kiss, led to the high priest, falsely condemned, accused of things that He did not do. Well, He's accused of being a king, part of it, and He did that. But it wasn't wrong. He was beaten by the guards and He was mocked by Herod's soldiers. And they placed a crown of thorns upon His head and mocked Him as a king. And a purple robe upon Him. And they scourged Him. And they took Him to Pilate. And Pilate sentenced Him falsely and wrongly. And He told Pilate, you can have no power over Me except to be given You from heaven. And Pilate delivered Him over to be crucified. And he carried his own cross, and he fell beneath the weight. And Simon of Cyrene helped him to carry that cross up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn. While Christ my Savior, weary and worn. And you realize that it had been all night. He hadn't slept. And he already, as it was, sweat, as it were, great drops of blood in the garden and fell to the ground. Now he's been beaten. He's been whipped with lash after lash after lash upon his back and mocked and spit at and the hairs of his beard pulled out. And he went up that mountain. He went up that hill. He went up Calvary's mountain for his people and because he loved them. And he went up there and he was nailed to that wood like an animal. He was nailed and he was crucified and he bled and he suffered. And while he hung there, he said, in his humanity, it's the only way I can explain it. Some of you preachers may tell me what was going on. But he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let me tell you what, he wasn't separated from his Father either. He was being punished by the Father. That's not a separation. There was a separation of fellowship, but there was not a separation. It was the wrath of God being poured out upon the Son. And he said, why? Why? And I can tell you why, but it's not in the text, but it's in the Bible. You can hear the Father say, because you love them. Because you love them. You love them. And you promised you would go. And there he died on the cross. And he said, it is finished. And he gave up his own ghost. Then they buried him in a borrowed tomb. Because he wasn't staying very long. He's all in the gospel. He's all in the gospel. He's all in our baptism. You realize the baptism is about Christ. Baptism is not about being a Baptist. It's about Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We're identifying with His death and His burial and His resurrection. And we go down and we say, I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to the old me. And I come up alive to serve the living God. I put on the uniform and I'm going to join the church of who? Jesus Christ. He's all in the Lord's Supper. The bread is His broken body. The wine is His shed blood. He's all in our prayers. We must pray in Jesus' name. We have to have Him. We need His intercessory work all the time. Any prayer without Christ is no prayer at all. He is all to the Father. All that the Father has ever done is for Christ, the Son of God. It's all in Christ. The creation, time itself, eternity, it's all for the Son. He reveals Himself in Jesus Christ. The Son is at the forefront of all of God's doings. All of God's thoughts are about the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every creature in heaven worships the Son continuously. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come. Christ is His Father's delight. He said, this is my beloved Son. What? Hear ye Him. He's the only one worthy of the Father. He is the sum of all things. He is our physician. He heals us. He is our counselor. He guides us. He is our sustainer. He holds us up. He is our rest. He is our peace. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. The great I Am. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Christ all to you tonight? Can you leave here tonight saying, He's everything. He's the only thing. He's all that matters. You say you're going overboard, brother. You meet me at the judgment. We'll see if I'm right or wrong. He's all that matters. There's nothing else that matters. It's all Jesus Christ. Paul said, I count all things loss, not just some things, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things. This world's never going to satisfy you anyway. It's never going to satisfy what you need. Is Christ all and in all to you? Do you recognize Him as that? If He is, then that means you've been saved. That means you're a Christian. We have nothing that will stand the test of eternity besides Christ. Without Christ, we are nothing. Have you considered your future without Jesus Christ? Christ is all. Is He all to you? Is He all to you? You say, yes, brother, I agree. Amen. I agree with you. He is everything. He's all I need. And I'm talking to believers. I can't give people life. You can get to hear it. And I hope the Lord does a work. Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord? He can't be one without the other. To the Christian, Christ is all and in all. Let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," notice he didn't say a form of a man. In his humanity, he was in the form of God because that's God. He's God, 100%. 100% God, 100% man. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." And it doesn't say that he thought it not something to be grasped at. He thought it was not robbery. He accepted every bit of worship came his way. It was not robbery. It was not wrong for him to be considered God. That's what it's saying. And it says, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." He came in flesh and blood. And he suffered in this world just like we do. He dealt with every sin, tempted in every single way, same as we, yet without sin. And it says, he was found in fashion as a man. And he humbled himself and became obedient. God, condescending, humbling himself to God to be obedient unto death, and particularly the death of the cross. You know, he wasn't going to die, you know, of thirst. He was going to die on the cross. And he was going to be punished as a sinner, as an evildoer. He had to go to Calvary's cross from the moment that he was born. That's where he was headed. It says, "For that reason, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." Above every name. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth." "That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." My knee will bow. Your knee will bow. The Pope's knee will bow. Every Pope has ever been. Barack Obama's knee will bow. George W. Bush's knee will bow. Every great and small man's knee will bow. Every woman's knee will bow. Every child's knee will bow. Every creature in heaven's knee will bow. That's the reality of this text. There's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will be made to confess that He is Lord to the glory of the Father. Let me ask you, will you rejoice in that day? Will you rejoice in that day? Will you be glad to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or will you be made to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ? It doesn't matter to God. It's going to happen. He will reign over you. He will, with or without your approval, be Lord. And by the way, He is now. Whether you recognize it or not, He's everything. Or He's nothing. Jesus Christ is all. And He's in all. There's nothing that's not Christ. He's everything. He's the only thing. He's glorious. Isn't He wonderful? Isn't He wonderful? Praise the Lord tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. Jesus. He is so wonderful. I'm so glad to know Him. I hope you do too. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for Your Son. We thank You for the gospel. We thank You for the good news that's come our way. Thank You, Father, for placing us in Jesus Christ. Lord, we look back and we realize we've always been in Him. He's our eternal high priest. He never began to love us. He never began to intercede. And forever, it's His purpose. He ever liveth to intercede on our behalf. And I think all He has to do, Father, is just sit there with those holes. Those wounds in His hand and inside His feet. And it speaks. It speaks for us. I paid that. I paid it. I paid it. I paid it. I paid it. I settled that. They're mine. Nobody can lay a charge to us. Can't lay any charge to us. And if God be for us and Christ died for us and He rose again, nothing can be against us. Help us to really think about this, Father. That we leave here tonight saying, Jesus is everything. He's everything. He's all that matters. Every minute of my life demands my life, my breath, my all. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.